I want to talk to you tonight about the fear of the Lord, because the scripture tells us that we are called to fear the Lord. And I believe that we live in a culture and a society that has a misconception on what this means to fear the Lord. And so I want to really clarify that for you guys tonight so that you can walk in a life that represents that you fear the Lord. You see, the other day somebody posted on Instagram that this world would be a much better place if more people feared the Lord. And somebody replied to that post and said, "No, you're not supposed to love God, or you're not supposed to fear God." And it really got under my skin, because that's exactly what the devil wants us to think, right? The devil wants us to think, "No, we're not supposed to fear God." But it says, so many times in the scripture that we're supposed to fear the Lord. And so tonight, I just want to share what that means with you all. I want to give you some illustrations about what that means. And then I want to explain to you what benefits we can get in our life when we walk in a life that fears God. And so if you will stand, I'm going to read Psalms 115 into your hearing. And it's about 18 verses, so it might be a little bit lengthy, but I feel like it's important that I read the whole thing, because I'm going to be referring to different pieces of it. So Psalms 115 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God now? But our God," say our God, "our God is in heaven, and he hath done whatsoever he pleased. You see, their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. They have noses, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. They have feet, yet they walk not. They have throats, but neither do they speak. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusts in them. Israel, trust in the Lord, for he is your help and your shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord, for he is your help and your shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for he is your help and your shield. For the Lord hath been mindful to us, and he will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children, for you are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. For heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he had given to the children of men. For the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we bless the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Praise the Lord." You can be seated in the Lord's house tonight. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. And so, kind of as I said, I really want to talk to you tonight about the fear of the Lord. So when we use that word fear, so many oftentimes we automatically think of being scared, right? Or being afraid. And so it can be deceiving when we talk about the fear of the Lord. It sounds like we are supposed to be scared of God, or we are supposed to be afraid of God. But fearing the Lord is not like that at all. It's not like being scared of a spider or scared of a snake. Some little girl said that they had a snake in their apartment tonight, right? They were afraid of that snake. Or how about, who's scared of the dark in here? Anybody afraid of the dark in here and willing to admit it? Okay, not afraid of the dark, but you're afraid of what's in the dark, right? We're afraid of what is in the dark. You see, fearing God is not being afraid of God. It's not being scared of him. We know that we do have a just God. We know that we do have a righteous God. We know that there are parts in the scripture when you read about our God, for example, how he sent the flood in the days of Noah, right? That we could get into a place, if we allow ourselves, where we could become scared of God. But nothing that our God does in his justice or in his wrath is bad, because our God is good. And all things that he does are good. And so we are not called to be afraid of God. We are called to fear God. You see, God desires for us to have a relationship with him. And in any relationship, you know, it's a two-way street, right? You've got to have open communication. You've got to spend time with one another. You've got to speak to one another. And in this relationship, we must recognize God for who he is and what he has done for our lives, for our relationship with God to work properly. And for that to happen, we have to recognize that he is the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and the earth. And when we fear him, that means that we are giving him a respect. It means that we are giving him a reverence. It means that we are in awe of his power, that we are in awe of his majesty and his glory. It means that we recognize God for who he truly is. He is almighty, he is holy, he is pure, he is righteous, he is all-knowing, he is all-powerful, and he is all-wise. And you see, when we see God in that way, then we can have that relationship where we respect him. We can have that relationship where we revere him, where we fear him, because we know that he is our Lord and our master, and we are his children. You see, when we see God and we become in an awe of his presence, we can have a newfound respect for him. I think of Ezekiel in 1 and 28, and he says, Ezekiel was in this vision, and he was under the throne of God, and Ezekiel described it as the appearance of a bow, as the appearance of a rainbow that was in the clouds in the day of Noah. And the appearance was so bright and so round about this throne that the appearance and the likeness and the glory of God, when Ezekiel saw it, he fell on his face to the ground. When Ezekiel experienced and saw God's glory for what it truly was, it was so overwhelming that he immediately had to bow down to his majesty. And it wasn't just one of these bows. He was so overwhelmed by the glory of God that he bowed all the way down as far as he could get onto the earth on his belly with his face down in the presence of the Lord. Not because he was scared of God, but because he saw and understood him in all of his glory. He saw and understood him for all that he truly was. And it brought Ezekiel to his belly, to a place of submission and humbleness before the Lord. And we too should have that relationship with God. We should know God in all his glory, that it brings us literally to our knees, literally to a place where we have times where we are on the floor, laying on our bellies, face down, worshiping him and praising him, because we recognize that we have such a sinful nature that we can only be saved by him. That's when we have that right relationship. And you see, when we have a fear for the Lord, this does mean that we're going to walk in obedience with him. If you have a fear for the Lord, that means that you're going to take his word, you're going to understand it, and you're going to apply it to his life. You see, Jesus told us that if man loves me, he will keep my words. Jesus said that if you love me, then you will keep my words. That means that if you love me, you're going to do what I ask you to do. Not because I'm authoritarian, not because I'm a mean leader or master, or because I'm going to come after you if you don't, but you're going to do what I ask you to do just simply because you love me. So I want to give you a quick illustration because I thought about this. So how many in here believe that your parents love you? How many in here have grandparents that they believe love them? Aunts or uncles that love them? Not because of anything that you can put your hands down. Not because of anything that you've done, but they just love you because of who you are. And if you didn't raise your hand, I want you to know that I love you just because of who you are. And I sincerely mean that. I would not have drove the hot church bus if I did not love you all. Okay, so let me give you an illustration. So when I was younger, I used to play softball. I used to play slow pitch softball. We got any athletes in here? Anybody that does any anything where, you know, whether it's athletes or music or something where you have to perform in front of somebody. So when, okay, you can put your hands down. So when I played softball, I was the pitcher, okay? And we had a lot of games in the evening, like most softball games. And my dad loves me. But my dad couldn't come to all the games because a lot of the games were at 5:30 and work just doesn't end until 6 o'clock, right? 6:30 for my dad. But if there was a game at like 7:30 or one of the later games under the lights, then my dad would come. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that when my dad came to a softball game, I was so nervous that I could barely breathe. Didn't care if my mom was there. Didn't care if my grandmas were there, but man, when my dad was there to watch me perform, I got nervous. You see, my dad did care about softball only because I cared about it. My dad wanted to make sure that I could do the best that I was absolutely doing when I played softball. I stood for hours in the yard, literally pitching to a bucket that was in the ground, so that my arch on my pitch would be so very perfect and land just absolutely precisely behind the plate. I mean, I'm not kidding. Hours I did this. My dad dug the hole for me. My dad paid for our traveling team to go to all of these different places. So I want you to understand, my dad invested in me to play softball, right? Not because he wanted me to be a great softball player, but just because he loved me and he knew that it was something that I cared about. So when my dad came to my softball games, man, I wanted to show him how good I was, right? When my dad came to my softball games, I wanted to make sure that I made him proud. I wanted to make sure that I struck out as many girls as I possibly could. I wanted to make sure that I hit the ball and I was a horrible batter. Horrible batter. And so I would always get so nervous when I would get up and bat because I was so worried I was going to strike out. And I would, just because my dad was there, I would get so in my head, right? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, do you think that my dad would love me any less if I didn't strike a girl out? No. Do you think my dad loved me any less when I did strike out because he was there? No. But I had a reverence and I had a respect for my dad that when he came and watched me in these games, that I wanted to perform my very best for him. Okay? That's just like having fear for the Lord. You see, God loves you so much that he doesn't just care about you when you're playing softball. He doesn't just care about you when you're here in the church house. He doesn't just care about you during the times that you get down and pray, but God is invested in your lives. If you love Jesus Christ, then it says that he abides with you. So God is so invested in your life that he dwells in your heart. That means he is watching you all day long. He is listening to your conversations. He is with you whether you want him to be or not. And so I know that if my God, my dad, is watching me play softball, I want to do what's best for him, right? So if I know that my God is watching me live my life, don't I want to do what's best so that he'll be proud of me? Not because he's going to love me any less if I mess up, but I want to do it because I love him so much that I want to make him proud of me. Does that make sense tonight? But you see, sometimes our view of God, I think this is where we get confused. Our view of God is not grand enough that we put him in that top priority. Our view of God is not in awe enough that we have the level of reverence and the level of respect that we need to truly fear him. To truly grasp the fact that every step of our lives we need to make to be pleasing to him. And when I read Psalms 15, and like I said, I know it was a longer Psalms, it really made me think about the heathens. You see, the heathens did not worship our God, the one true God. They worshiped false gods. They worshiped idols made of man's hands. And the truth of the matter is, too many people's view of God is no different than the heathen's view. where God is something that you can take and you can create into an image that fits your lifestyle. So that he's only a priority when you want him to be a priority. So that when you're not using him, you can take him apart and hide him behind this plant so that you don't have to think about him. But oh no, life is hard, so I'm going to pull him back out. That's people's view on our God. They only want him when it is convenient for their own lives. They don't see him as alive, as active, as engaged, as breathing, as the giver of life. They treat our God like these false idols, pieces of wood. And when you treat them like a piece of wood, it's kind of hard to have faith in something that you can't count on, right? It's kind of hard to put hope into a piece of wood. And if this pig comes over and tells you what to do, oh wait, it can't, because it can't talk to you. You're definitely not going to respect it, right? You're not going to revere it. So many of you have just recently started a relationship with Christ. And you're in the phases where you are now learning who God is. And you're molding and making him a part of your life and a part of your heart. And you have a choice. You can treat him like a false idol, like a piece of wood, where you create him so that it's only convenient for him to come out when you want him. Or you know what? You can even keep him on a shelf in your house and pick him up and carry him to church on Sunday mornings and then drop him back off when you get home at lunchtime. Or if you got better things to do on Wednesday nights, you can hide him behind some of the books on the shelf so that you don't feel guilty for not coming and serving him like he desires you to do. But that's not the God that I serve. I serve a God that is alive. I serve a God that is well. I serve a God that is living, that is everlasting God. But we live in a culture that truly has a take it or leave it mindset. We live in a culture that truly does just say, I want my God to only enter into certain parts of my life. We live in a culture that says, yeah, I believe in God, but I don't believe that he's alive. I don't believe that he's active. I don't believe that he's well, that he's engaged. And so they leave him on the shelf. You see, we live in a culture that takes pride and comfort in what they can see. They put their faith in things similar to these wooden statues. So let me give you just a couple quick examples. So our struggle is that we are putting our fear or our priorities over God. We're putting them in these false hopes. So if I have a fear of money, if I am worshiping money more than God, then my fear of money is greater than my fear of the Lord. If I think that money is going to run my life and that I'm worried that I'm not going to have enough, then money has now taken a priority over God. And we truly are respecting money above God. We're truly reverencing money above God. We have more awe in money over God. But if we search the scripture, the scripture tells us that the Lord God is our provider, that he is the one that gives us blessing. He is the one that gives us riches. He is the one that pours out his blessings upon our lives. And so if we recognize that money comes from God and begin to put our fear in God first, we'll receive the blessing. We no longer have to fear money or the lack thereof. How about friendships? Some of you may fear that you're going to lose friends if you share the gospel with them. Some of you may be afraid to tell people about Jesus Christ because you're worried that your friends may think that you're a weirdo, right? They may not like you anymore. It may be hard to say, hey, I can't do that tonight because I'm busy, I have church, right? Or don't schedule anything for Sundays because I'm going to go to church on Sunday. You may have a fear that you're going to miss out on something and that you're going to miss out on a friendship. When we have that fear, we place it higher than God. But when we know that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, when we know that there is no greater friend on this earth than Jesus Christ himself, and we know that he will never leave us alone, he will never forsake us, but he will always walk beside us, and we can stand on that, then we are putting our fear and our trust in him above the fear of our friendships. And our priorities are right and we're rebalanced. But so many people have the wrong view on God that they're missing the mark and the priority in their lives. And when we have those fears, those real fears that creep in, we need to go to the scripture and see what the scripture says and begin professing scripture over the word of God. Because we need to be putting our faith and we need to put in our time and our priorities in salvation, in the spiritual things of life, doing God's purpose and growing, spending time with loved ones. And to do that, we've got to shift our mindset on who God is. So my God, the God that I serve, is not one of these wooden creatures. My God is alive. Jeremiah 10 and 10 says, "But the Lord God is the true God. He is the living God and everlasting King." And John 6 and 57 says, "As the living Father has sent me, I too shall live by the Father." My God is alive and well, and he abides and lives with those who love him. My God hears you when you pray to him. My God talks to you when you ask him to. My God guides us when we are lost. He speaks to our lives. My God sees you when you have tears running down your face. He knows your hearts. He dwells and lives every single day with you because he is invested in you. He desires a relationship with you. You know, Sunday morning, we talked about Adam and Eve in the garden. You see, God walked in the garden in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. That is how great our God is. He desires to walk through this life with every single one of us so much that he sent his Holy Spirit down to dwell with us. You know, when we sing, "Come, Holy Spirit, come," we are asking God to come into our lives and into our hearts so that he can lead us. And when we allow that Spirit to lead us, that is when we are truly walking in the fear of the Lord. He desires to have a relationship with us. But we've got to get our mindset right and truly understand who he is. You see, I have a spreadsheet. I have a list of over 100 names for Jesus Christ. There's 100 different names for Jesus. And I'm not going to read them all, but I am going to read a few of them. Because for us to understand how great our God is, you've got to be able to pull on who God is in those moments where he's not that top priority. You see, my God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the creator and the author of life. He is the perfecter of our faith. He is our good shepherd. He is our high priest. He is our horn of salvation. My God is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the morning star. He is the rock. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. We should be standing at our feet praising him in this moment. Won't you give him a round of applause? That's the type of majesty and the honor that we have every single day. To have him in the right place in our life so that we can walk according to the purpose. So that we can begin to comprehend, just like Ezekiel, that we must humble ourselves under him and walk in the fear of the Lord every single day. But when you do not understand how good he is, when you do not understand his great power and his great majesty, he'll never have the right place in your life. We have to live a life that's in the fear of the Lord, and that means that we are living a life that is set to glorify God. Because if we're living a life where we're trying to do a task that's pleasing to God, that means that he's going to get the glory. That's where Psalms 115 starts. It says, "Now unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give the glory." When we walk in the fear of the Lord and we walk in obedience of God because he's got his rightful place, that's just not us being obedient, but that is God receiving the glory in our lives. And when God receives the glory in our lives, that means people are seeing Christ in you, and they too can receive salvation through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's how he gets the glory. But if we don't have our view right of who God is, we're not ever going to get there. You see, we should be desiring our acts to follow after God because we want to please him, because we love him so much that we're so thankful that he dwells within us, that he is walking footsteps with us, not because we have to earn salvation, because that is free, but we're doing it because he's given us that free gift of salvation, that we want to live a life pleasing to him. So tonight as I close, I don't know if the music team's coming or not, but I want to go ahead and invite them to come. But as they come, I want to share the benefits. You know, we talked about the fact that we're supposed to fear the Lord. We talked about the fact of what that means. But I want you to understand that there are benefits to your life when God has that first priority. You see, when we fear the Lord, we know that God is our help. And we know that he is our shield. Listen to this. When we fear God and he has that top priority, it says that he will bless both the small and the great. Anybody ever felt small? When we live a life that fears the Lord, he will bless the small and the great. Proverbs 10 tells us that when we live a life that fears the Lord, he will prolong our days. That means we can live a longer life. When we live a life that fears the Lord, it means that we can have a confidence in him and that he is our place of refuge. It means that he is our fountain of life and we are free from the snares of death. When we fear the Lord, Scripture tells us that we will depart from evil. This means that it gets easier. Because when we live a life that's fearing the Lord, we're departing from evil and that temptation is no longer even there. When we live a life that fears the Lord, that means that Scripture tells us that we shall be satisfied in walking a life that fears the Lord. And in Proverbs 28 and 14, I love this one the most. It says, "Happy. Happy is the man that fears the Lord." Anybody want to live a happy life? Live a life walking in the fear of the Lord. Because you see, when we see God as he is, and we have an awe and a reverence and a respect for him, we also see ourselves for what we are. We see ourselves in a sinful nature. We see ourselves as weak, as frail, as needy. When we see God for what he is, we can truly see how much we need God in our lives. Because that's the place that we've got to get to fear him. We've got to get to a place where we are humble so that he can be that number one priority. a place where we are bowing in reverence and respect out of our love for him, so that he can teach us and grow us for his glory.